Thank you. Prabhupada ki, Sisi Gaura Nitai ki, Sisi Radha Damodara ki, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Go.
Jump into our face. It's sounds such a low class English, but it will become very obvious as we hear the next two processes. The first is Pada Sevanam, that is worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, and then Archanam, or deity worship. Like in all the other devotional services, these are exemplified by great personalities. It says Tat Andri Bhajane Lakshmi Pritu Pujane, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, attained perfection by worshipping the Lord's lotus feet, and Pritu Maharaj attained salvation by Mansa worshipping the deity. So these two processes, worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord and worshipping the deities, are very important. And I would like to ask you on the first item, what could actually worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord mean for you? It's a very difficult question. A question with which I personally struggled for a long time. How can I, who am so far away from the Lord, worship his lotus feet? And what does this mean? Does it mean when he comes from a lecture, I will find his shoes, and then while I give the shoes, I put some flowers in the shoes? Well, what is a way to worship the lotus feet of the Lord? And when will I ever meet him? Is there ever a situation in my life when I can touch the lotus feet of the Lord? I don't think. So what could that mean? Maybe because it's a little bit difficult, it's early in the morning, and you have not gone to bed very early, I will help you, because it's a difficult question. It means being intensely engaged in thinking of the lotus feet. And this includes seeing the form of the Lord in the altar, touching him. This is what pujaris do when they bring the dresses and fix them. But it can also mean circumambulating the form or the temple. It gets now more and more accessible. Like I think some of you have gone around the deity. There's a wonderful arrangement for Hariklam, keeping the deity and his lotus feet on the right side. It means also visiting holy places where the Lord has walked, and taking a bath in rivers where he has taken his bath, like the Ganga, which comes in fact from his lotus feet, in the Yamuna, where Lord Krishna swam and played and splashed water from his dear devotees who came with him. In other words, it means to come in contact with the Lord in some way. I have asked some of our scholars, why do you always say the lotus feet of Krishna? We should think of the lotus feet of Krishna. Why the feet? Why not, for instance, his hands? Or his arms? Or more particular, a certain muscle? Why not? Why the feet of olives? The idea is that two ideas are. First of all, just in a very simple devotional way, the feet of the Lord are closest to us. We are here, the Lord is on the transcendental platform, and His feet are there, for He stands here, are closest to my head. His hands are more away, His head are more away. The second, maybe more, let me say, known reason, is that when you are very humble, when you are very, let me say, very devotional, you take on a position where you see the feet. It is said that Lakshman did not know the face of Maria Sita. Once Lord Rama asked him, "How do you like the face of Maria Sita?" Lakshman said, "I don't know the face because I only look at my feet." This is, of course, also something which is a thing of propriety, this natural carefulness in dealing with the wife of this brother, but it also is a devotional expression of humility. Therefore, darshan for the devotees in this world always start from the feet upwards. We look there, we are aware of our situation. However, my dear devotees, the feet are not different from any part of the Lord. When you think of the feet of the Lord, you think of the Lord. And you come close to the Lord by doing these things, going around His altar, visiting holy places where He has walked, bathing in the same rivers which either originate from Him or come from Him. So the role model here is Lakshmi, who is always near to the Lord, who is always massaging the lotus feet of the Lord in a very, very an attitude of very devotional service. Mm-hmm. She is sitting at the feet of the Lord and rendering this service. And it is said once a saint, Rihu, came. He wanted to test which one of the deities is supreme, Shiva, Brahma, or Vishnu. So he came there to test Lord Vishnu, how much he would be in control of his mind. And he then came and did something which is really a test. He kicked the Lord in his chest as he was massaged by Lakshmi on his feet. Hare Krishna. This is really something. I don't know how this came in our scriptures. It still gives me pain to just think about it. The Lord is there, and leisure, and Lakshmi is doing a very devotional service. And the Lord passed the test from Rigu in grand style. He said, "Rigu, such a harshness. Have you hurt your feet? And for me, it's should I maybe massage it for better circulation now?" That's what you do when you are ashamed and have done something. That was the only way that you stretch, the only time you stretch out the talking Vedic culture. Maybe in the Ayurvedic Kaviraj also, but this is the only authorized way. But Lakshmi could not forgive this. She cursed Rigu that from henceforward all the Brahmanas would be very poor. So if you are poor, know that this is in good order. You have to get it's such a small little Aditya. She became so defensive of her Lord that she said, this is too much, you went too far. Okay, it's a test. Which one of the deities is supreme? I have the greatest strength, and Vishnu had the greatest inner strength. Yes, I know you wanted to see that, but become poor, be poor. So yes, this is something which needs to be noted. The next thing is deity worship. Prithu Maharaj was a great king, but he arranged with all the wealth which he had an opulent worship of the deity. He would go to the temple every day despite his vast responsibility as the ruler. Srila Prabhupada makes the point that even in rich Indian families like the Birlas, there is this rule that every morning you must come to the temple and worship the Lord. That is how to start the day in an auspicious way. Therefore we say, impossible, come to the Mangal Aarti, because it's very auspicious to see in the morning the deity, first thing, and so on. So, these are the two examples which are available to us. And I do not wish to talk so much now about Pada Sevanam or intensely being engaged in thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord or worshipping the Lord or the deity, because I really want to bring this now into a very practical concept. And for that I want to boil down these two practices to one principle. The principle here is, and you need to understand this, make your contact with Krishna. Get in contact. Don't stay far away from Krishna. Come close. Do what is called practice sambandha, deep relationships with Krishna. Sambandha means also a bond, my dear devotees. As conditioned souls, we are all bound by a shackle around our neck. This shackle forces us to engage in conditioned activities, to become angry, to become lustful, to become envious of others. It's the bond around the neck. And as long as this bond remains, it will be very difficult for you to have a relation, a connection with Krishna. You must enter into a bond which frees you. You must enter into divine shackles. That is sambandha in relationship to Krishna. Now we are bound by Maya. We are pulled left and right. But we want to be bound by Krishna. And this is the whole idea of these two processes of devotional service. Let me tell you a story about a scandal. There was an Indian circus, and there was fire in the circus, and the entire circus burned down. Fortunately, all the animals could escape to freedom, except the most strong elephant, the elephant. When an investigation was made by the insurance company of why the elephant burned, they found out that he was only bound by a little rope to some plastic pole or of all like this, it would have been easy to break free. It would have been very easy to move forward and escape. The panther escaped, the lion escaped, the monkeys escaped, the horses escaped. They had to break their cages open. The elephant, although the strongest, was bound by a little rope and did not escape. Why not? They had to go into the past of the elephant. They found out that when he was young, he was separated from his mother in the jungle near Haridwar, and he was chained by an iron chain and a shackle to a tree. For 2 weeks, the little elephant heard the call of the mother elephant and wanted to escape. For 2 weeks, he was hurting his leg until his bled and white pus was all over the place. Then after 2 weeks, the elephant was freed from the chain. The small elephant did not need that iron chain any longer. He had now a chain in the mind. He was thinking, it is not possible to break free from my shame. I will always remain the person who I am at this moment, the elephant, the small elephant. He was not convinced of Ghanshyam Priya's workshop that it is possible that we see reassess our opportunities to break free. He remained bound in his mind. My dear devotees, you all, or we all, have a shackle in our mind like this, which conditions us, which binds us to the material world, which binds us to repeated birth and death, or the fire of samsara. It binds us. It is internalized. It is there. You say, Maharaj, where is it? I have no chain. It's in the mind, it's in the concept. I can't do that. I feel not comfortable to do this. I'm helpless to do this. Now, you must enter another bond. You must, to become free, you must enter the Sambandha bond with Krishna. You must, therefore, Pada Sevana, think of the lotus feet in some ways. Circumambulate the temple. Take a bath in a holy river which Krishna said. Visit a holy place. Somehow come closer. Come a little bit closer. Don't stay in the distance. It will kill you if you stay in the distance. Then the bondage of Maya will still remain with you. I want to tell you about an old lady. This old lady, this happened many years ago, and this was what shook me up totally. This old lady was a worshipper of Ram. But when she came to the evening of her life, that is, close to death, she was sad. Because she could not think of Ram. She could not remember Ram. Every day she went to the temple, but what occupied her mind most was not Ram, even when she stood directly before the deity. What occupied her mind was the anxieties of an aging lady. Do my grandsons ever find good jobs? Will my son become healthy again? He's now diseased. And this, my dear devotees, was very much on her mind. So she went to one god brother of Srila Prabhupada, one Maladeva Maharaj, who is no longer since a long time, because she was near to the temple of this Maharaj, she came in the evening and said, "Maharaj, I'm dying, but I don't think of Ram. What could I do?" And he said, "Very good question. Come back tomorrow. I want to answer this question before the entire ashram. Everyone has to hear the answer. The cook, the flower, the gardener, the this and the that. They need to come." So the next evening, the entire ashram was assembled. The Maharaj was there, ready to talk, and the old lady also entered and sat down. And the Maharaj said, "Here is a devotee of Ram. The whole life she has been a devotee of Ram. However, she has no connection to Ram. She has connections to her children. She has connections to her grandchildren, but not to Ram, to the effect that she cannot think of him. That's not possible. This could happen to each single one of you. You can live in an ashram. I want to extend this now. You can live in a Pandava Sena. You can live in a Krishna conscious movement. But you can miss the entire point of it. To come closer to Krishna, to serve Krishna, and to do what is there in the world, Krishna consciousness, to be conscious of Krishna. And then you will remain bound, like the elephant in the zoo, in the circus, to Maya. You need a sambandha, a total bondage to Krishna. And I want to now play you, because it is something which you will not forget for the rest of your life. It's a lecture by Srila Prabhupada when he installed the deities in the Los Angeles temple. Remember we discussed some Pada Sevanam, worshipping the feet and worshipping the deities. In relationship to connection, making a connection, being bound to them. So he looked at his devotees. He was worried that they might enter what he called idol worship and not deity worship. He was worried that they would never get the consciousness, a feeling for Krishna. And he talked in such a way that those who have heard this tape or this recording, you will see, I will not tell you, there's a surprise at the end. So we will listen to it. Please, very loud, so that it's clear.
You will think you in idol worship. That is the difference between idol worship and believers. If there is no life, then it is idol worship, even me. When there is life, feeling, I am the son, here is the son. Oh, I have to serve the son, I have to dress the son, I have to serve Ramana, she is there, oh, I am not rich and healthy. And as soon as possible, deliver her to the best capacity. If you see all the three Krishna, land, fire, the same as killing the path. If you take it is a present girl and the idol. This is Amma Prabhupada said down to you, Bhajana. If you think it is a present idol, then it is a present idol to you forever. But if you elevate yourself to our platform, Krishna, then Krishna, this Krishna is God. This Krishna and God, there was a Moshe Mahi Maharaj. He was talking to the deep. Krishna, just a moment. example, standing at the end of long temple, there are many trees. Madamana talking with him and I don't know that bringing up his dry chapati and his stairs and he don't give him this sword. How many? Sadhguru and say, sir, once they go, whatever I get, I love you. You like it, sir, say, you are a poor man. So this man was he dead. Because in Bhakta, in the offering, he cannot refuse.
No, sir.
Dhimam, Bhaktyavus. He didn't think it was me. What is that offer to Krishna? I don't think he loves Krishna. What is your heart? What is your land? And what is the value of your things? It is nothing. Therefore, the real thing is Madhya. The real thing is your feeling. Krishna, kindly, I know that I am most God in fallen. But I have got the same form of peace. This will be accepted. Don't give up all the media. You are dealing with Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki. So, here Srila Prabhupada makes this point very, very clear. He said, when there is life, when there is feeling, where is Krishna? Here is Krishna, oh, I have to serve Krishna. In this way, he says, you will always feel Krishna conscious. Do you know the term fire? It comes from here. Then you are fire. The same example, keep with the fire. So, this is the whole idea. These great souls have come to us and they have brought to us this understanding. You must deal, you are dealing with Krishna. Be careful with Krishna. Offer him something. And by this feeling of sambandha, you will come to Krishna without any doubt. Okay, enough theory. Now you need to take your Vivek. Or if you don't have the Vivek with you, no problem. We want to practice the sambandha in relationship with the chanting. But before I start, my dear devotees, I and Andhrasena members and also my skeptics, the dress I don't know. I want to say to you, this is the crux, this is the turning point. Turning to Krishna with sambandha, staying with the fire. Prabhupada gave another analogy, when the spark is out of the fire, it dies, but when it is in the fire, it is full of life. Therefore, it is important to think of Krishna, to serve Krishna, to be connected with the Holy Name. Otherwise, you will dry out and your energy will wane. So, we will do two things today. We will do this in relationship with the chanting of the Holy Name. And then, we will do I will kidnap you from here and bring you to Vrindavan. I thought we are driving to the Vrindavan, so let us be a little conscious of the Vrindavan aspect. How do you practice sambandha in relationship to Krishna's holy name? Most of us chant, but our mind is absent while we chant. Therefore, we are getting tired of chanting, get the other kid and everything. I hope this stops so that I can do something realistic and relatable and so on. Or we only appreciate kid dance where we can dance and do some physical wear out. But we don't relate to Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a meditation. And I want you to sit properly now. We will meditate a little bit.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
There's a lot of talk about the Yamuna being polluted, but the real Yamuna, the transcendental Yamuna, the one where the goddess can never become dirty by human blood. There is in the description it said there are lotus flowers in the Yamuna and bees tasting the nectar. Wonderful lotus. This devotee gives also her light to the Yamuna light and goes in the direction of Mathura. As we said, Yamuna invites us to cross from the material to the spiritual world. And I will now invite you also to cross, to transcend, to use the Tirtha and move back on. We will do something which is a Sambandha meditation, a connection meditation. I request you to sit tall. In your mind's eye, go to the holy Yamuna River. Sit down on your wide sandy banks. Maybe the place where you all laughed, knowing that it is possible that a very, very advanced Vaishnava was sitting there. In your mind's eye, focus on what shows up now. Perhaps you see the sun setting on the horizon, or a boatman bringing pilgrims to the opposite bank. Just spend some time in this sacred atmosphere. Focus now on the sounds you hear. Perhaps you hear a peacock in the distance. Or some children playing in the waters of Yamuna. Maybe a sadhu chanting mantras and offering prayers. Please bring your attention to your heart space. Think of the space of your heart. You are now ready to take your holy bath in the night. But before you take your bath, first take some flowers and a lamp with a light, and offer it with devotion to the Yamuna. Now, enter the Yamuna slowly and respectfully. Take some of the waters in your palms and offer to the Yamuna by praying. O River Yamuna, you are the blissful spiritual water that gives love to the son of Maharaj Nanda. You are the same as the water from the spiritual world. For you can vanquish all our offenses and sinful reactions and cured in the soul. You are the creator of all auspicious things. O daughter of the Sun God, kind, purify us. Slowly move forward into the river. Dip in the river 3 times. How your consciousness becomes spiritualized with each deep and how you feel some relief. On the opposite bank, you see Sri Sri Radha Syam Sundara now being worshipped beneath a tree by their associates. Turn to them in a prayerful kirtan. Practice sambandha, connecting with the Lord through devotional service.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. And thank you very much for participating.
Please, I would love
you to take home is the simple statement of Prabhupada. When there is life, when there is feeling, he there is Krishna, here is Krishna. In this way, if you always feel Krishna conscious, then you are fire. Modern times we say, you are fire. The same example, keeping with the fire. It's an urgent message. It's a message to awaken from the chain of bond and into the loving bond with Krishna. So, Lakshmi, you pray to Maharaj, examples of worshipping the feet and worshipping the deity. And thank you very much in participating. We will not be able to take questions, unfortunately. We will do so if you will die. Now we need to come into another mode of existence. We need to get ready. Maybe there's one of the announcement. Is there something which needs to be said still? And this probably know what to do. Yes. You really look different on Prabhupada. You are, this is a space which you seem to get to know first. You seem to be a little unfamiliar in this space. But it will come, it will come, hopefully, for Krishna consciousness.